Welcome to the Talk Write Done Writing Podcast for coaches. If, like me, you're a coach and entrepreneur, you'll know you either need to hire a writer or become a writer. Whether your work in progress is a blog post, an article, or a book, here you'll find the inspiration, motivation, and expertise you need to help you succeed. I'm your host, writing coach, editor, and applied linguist, Dr. Lizzie Tangi, and I hope that together we can get our best writing done. And welcome back to the show. So today I wanted to come on and talk about something that's been coming up a lot recently with clients. And that's where, you know, you've had that initial enthusiasm for a project, but somewhere along the way, you've lost that enthusiasm, you've stopped writing for every reason, and you want to be able to get back into it. Now, everybody is different, and we all need to find a writing process that works for us. But I'm going to give you some strategies in here in this episode that you might find useful. So first thing I'm going to get you to do is you can either, if you're listening at your desk, you can pause this, or if you're on the go, you can come back to it later. But just journal on these two questions for a minute or so and just write whatever comes to mind. So the first question is, what stops me writing? Yeah, what stops me writing? And that can be anything from physical or electronic distractions to not having a plan for your writing or time to write or having a space to write. And then the second question is, what keeps me writing? So think back to the times where you've just found that the writing flows for you and you've just kept writing and writing. What is it that's allowed you to get into that state and keep on writing? Yeah, so those can be two really nice questions to start with. So now I'm going to give you some strategies that may work for you. And the first one is to put writing on the calendar. Now, in the first writing session I hold with graduate students at my university each October, I tell them that they need to see themselves as writers. And this means putting writing on the calendar. There's a couple of reasons for this. If you put writing on the calendar, you're making the space for that. You're telling yourself that it's a priority, but you're also letting others know that it's a priority. So other people in your life, you know, whether that's a boss or if you've got writing on your calendar, colleagues know that they can't schedule appointments with you, or even just for yourself, if you've got that writing scheduled on there, that you'll know not to do something else in that time. And it doesn't end up that writing comes to be the last thing that you do after you've done everything else and then doesn't happen. So with my students, what we'll do is actually together in the class is pull out our diaries and plan out our writing sessions for the next week. And I get my students to start scheduling whatever feels doable from where they are now. So this can often be starting from zero writing. And it might be that they start with 15 minutes a day, and then each day they'll add a minute or 5 minutes. So whatever is doable for you at this time from wherever you're starting from, for each day that you're going to write, and it doesn't need to be 7 days a week. If you say, okay, these are my writing days, you can schedule that on the calendar. So again, whenever you get a chance, if you're listening into this on the go, when you get back, take out your calendar and actually schedule in those writing sessions that you're going to commit to just for the next week. And I find with my clients, you know, that's really doable. If I say, right, I'm just going to start writing for 15 minutes tomorrow, and then the next day after that, I'm going to add a minute, it's much easier to sit down for 15 minutes, even if you carry on for longer, than it is to think, oh my goodness, I've got to sit down for 4 hours and write. Yeah. So when I try this with students or clients, inevitably in the next session, I hear how it was really hard to get started. But once they actually sat down, they ended up writing for longer than they thought and even enjoyed the process. So that's great because it's all about enjoying it and finding a process for you. So what are you going to do in these writing sessions? So I always suggest practicing free writing and deep writing, and separating your time into free writing and deep writing. What does that mean? Well, with your free writing, I always like to suggest starting from an outline if that's something that works for you. Start from an outline, but then within that, you just allow yourself to get your ideas down. So working from your outline, use your free writing time to brain dump ideas within each chapter or section. Don't stop to think about style. Don't stop to research a topic. And that way you're not going to spend hours trying to perfect sentences and you'll see much more progress in your work. Now, deep writing practice is where you can work on honing your writing craft and shaping your text, but that comes much later. And if you kind of mix up those two, then you're not going to make much progress with your text. So like a sculptor, you need to have the rough material there first before you can come back to perfect your piece. Okay, so the third strategy is to celebrate the small wins. It's really important to create mini milestones and then celebrate them. How are you going to treat yourself when you write that first blog post or the first page of your book? If you mark the mini milestones, it's going to keep you motivated and will make it much easier to turn up at the page the next day. Some of the ways that I've celebrated small wins in the past is, this might not sound like a celebration, but marking my word count in a spreadsheet. Yes, this is a kind of sticker chart style reward little kids have. But, you know, if I've got a spreadsheet and I can see, okay, my word count goal for each chapter is how many thousand words. And once I've written that chapter, I can put the word count in there and I can see that adding up. And I can even change, you know, what I do is change the colours. So when it's written, when it's drafted, it's, you know, it might be orange. And then when that chapter is proofread, ready to go, then it's green. And that gives you a real kind of sense of achievement. Another thing is to schedule in a coffee with a friend. You know, if I've got that planned in advance, it pushes me to get my words done rather than wasting time or checking my phone alerts when I'm meant to be writing. If I think, right, I've got 2 hours before I go meet my friend, then I'm going to actually sit down and do it. You know, taking a bath, going for a swim, doing something else that feels like you're treating your body, you're going for a walk, being in nature is always great. Ordering a tasty meal. Okay, if I'm going to write now instead of doing the cooking, can I order in a tasty and healthy meal? And also having a writing accountability buddy or friend to just even text your win to and say, hey, I finished that chapter or I started my outline. That can be really helpful. So celebrating the small wins. Okay, and the third tip then is practice getting your work out the door. Now, quite often when a client comes to me, I hear something like, oh, you're the first person I've ever shown my writing to. You know, people may have been sitting on a draft of their book or various unpublished articles for years and have never actually shown anyone. And I totally get this. It took me ages as a business owner before I started to feel comfortable with this new kind of writing for different platforms. But honestly, the more practice I get and the more I get my writing out the door, the easier it gets. So before you share your book, why don't you practice sharing your writing in other ways so that publishing the book feels less scary? You know, a guest post here and there, a few emails to your list, a couple of posts on LinkedIn. It's going to do wonders for your confidence and to realize that people are rooting for you and interested in what you've got to say. You know, all of these things have really helped me, especially my email list has been a great form of building my writing skills and writing muscle and confidence. Okay, the fourth tip then is making sure you get the right kind of feedback on your work. Now, just this term, when I was talking to a group of PhD students about how much I enjoy and I have benefited from writing groups, someone said how much they'd been stung by getting terrible feedback from someone in a writing group. So how can you judge the quality of a writing group? Well, the truth is you can't. And getting feedback doesn't necessarily mean going to a writing group and giving your writing to random people for feedback. You have got no idea whether the feedback will be useful or not. Instead, you can give your writing to trusted colleagues, friends, writing partners that you know, or professionals. And for me, writing groups are more about accountability than getting feedback. If you are planning to get feedback on your writing, as I say, make sure that you ask for the kind of feedback you want. So on your first drafts, you might ask for feedback about ideas, on structure. On later drafts, you can ask for feedback about style and transitions. And on final drafts, you're asking for feedback on surface level errors, like typos and grammar errors. And in fact, I've got a whole blog post on asking for the right kind of feedback on your writing. So I will link to that in the show notes. And the next tip then, tip number 5, is to allow incubation time. Take some time away from the page. Often the best writing magic happens when we're incubating our ideas. Go for a walk, take a swim, take a shower, get a good night's sleep. Sooner or later, your writing mind is going to reward you with a light bulb moment. Okay, so there are my tips for writing more. Oh, and one final bonus tip, which comes from Joan Bolker. She's the author of the excellent and pretty old book, Writing Your Dissertation in 15 Minutes a Day, which is a book that I found when I was trying to write 80,000 words while juggling two under twos. And this is to park your writing on a downhill. So this is what that means. If I'm working on a piece of work that I won't finish in one sitting, I add to my parking on a downhill Google Doc. And this file tells me exactly where I finished the previous session and what I'll start writing the next time. And it saves me wasting hours reading through what I've already written. You know, it's that feeling, that kind of smug feeling I have when I've put the coffee timer on the night before. I'm really thankful to my yesterday self. And if you can do that for yourself, park your writing on a downhill, it's going to make it much easier to get started. So there are my tips for getting writing done. Number one, put writing in the calendar and actually stick to your writing sessions. And you know, it doesn't matter if you schedule 5 sessions in the week and you only make 3 of them. You've still done more writing than if you hadn't scheduled any sessions. Number two, in your sessions, practice free writing as well as deep writing and separate those two. Number three, celebrate the small wins, whether that be sticking to 2 of your writing sessions in the week or finishing your outline or even starting your outline. Celebrate those wins with something you enjoy. Number four, get your writing out the door. So whether that's small pieces of what you're writing published as a blog or an email to your list. Make sure you get the right kind of feedback on your writing. So asking for feedback on ideas in your first drafts and not on surface level errors or typos when you're still in the idea generation phase. Allow your writing time to incubate. So making sure you get plenty of time away from the page, as that's often where you'll get those light bulb ideas. And finally, at the end of every session, park your writing on a downhill. Make it easier for you when you start the session the next day so you don't start wading through what you've already written before you can start writing something new. I hope you found that useful. I'd love to hear your writing tips for getting more done. I love it when people get in contact with me. I love hearing from the listeners about what works for you. And if you try any of these tips that you haven't tried before, let me know. Let me know how it goes. If you make a plan for the next week and you stick to it or not, let me know. Thanks for listening. I appreciate you being here. And if you like this podcast and you know another writing friend that you think it would help, please do share it and rate and leave a review so that we can help more writers get more writing done. Take care now. If you've been thinking of starting a blog for ages, but you still haven't managed to launch it, you might like to check out my 5-star Udemy course, Blogging for Coaches, Consultants and Educators. This is going to take you from 0 blogging experience, as one previous student put it, to a stockpile of posts ready to publish. So it really does take you from scratch to actually taking you through a number of different types of posts that are going to be ideal for your business, for your audience, and getting those written and out the door. It's on sale now until the 30th of November, so head to the link in the show notes and you can grab the course there for a limited time at a special price. I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you liked it and you can think of someone else that would like it, please do share it. And I'd love it if you could rate and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Let me know if there's anything you'd like me to talk about on the show, if you know anyone you think I should interview, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show. Speak to you next week, and until then, happy writing.